Listen to Danny Lakey and turn it up to the ceiling. Everything could go so wrong, but you'll be so happy. It's Danny Lakey, yeah. It's Danny
right across
Lakey.
Australia, this is the Danny Lakey, Lakey Show.
It's Danny Lakey.
Well, anyone who's been involved in a long-distance relationship with their Ugandan sponsor child's hot African sister knows that relationships are full of highs and lows. And unfortunately, we lived some dizzying highs last week. There is a little bit of a speed bump in mine and Esther Akukazibi's relationship. That is all on the podcast. Yeah, bear all. What of it? A bit of a Bologna bust in the Mexican-Texan border. A lot of ham product. We talked about that. Phrases, of course. It was a Tuesday. Impress us with your phrase. Some great phrases there were. And some great phrases there was. But let's kick it off with some crumb stuff. And some people say crumbs are overrated. Well, tell that to Hansel and Gretel. Bit of cheese crime. Woman linked to crime by Cheeto residue on her teeth. Oof.
The mouth is for eating, not for sex.
Police said a woman is in jail after Cheeto residue on her teeth linked her to an attempted home burglary. Patrol officers were dispatched to reports of a person attempting to force their way through the window of a home. Officers arrived quickly and found an open window with the screen removed on the front of the house. And a few seconds later, they saw Sharon Carr come out of the shadows and arrested her. Okay, so I mean, probably the biggest piece of evidence is that Sharon Carr was near the burgled window. I think that's the first piece. Officers said they found an empty Cheeto bag and a bottle of water on the floor near the open window. Uh-oh. Smells cheesy to me. Officers believe Carr dropped the Cheeto bag and water as she made her escape out the window. Yeah, well, she doesn't have enough hands for everything. You can't commit burglaries and robberies whilst also still committing to your Cheeto bag and your bottle of water. It's one or the other. The victim identified Carr as the burglar after seeing her. Okay, there's a bit more evidence stacking up than just the title of linking with the Cheeto residue. Where's the Cheeto gear? Carr was further linked to the crime by Cheeto residue in her teeth. Oh, I see, yeah. I like that. I like that the Cheeto evidence is there as a kicker because it's really just a he said, she said sort of situation before that. She burgled my home. There, that one. What, the one that was near the window of the burgled house? Yes. And she's like, no, it wasn't. No, it wasn't me. He's like, well, what about this Cheeto bag? Know anything about that? No, nothing about it. Open your mouth. Yes, you committed the crime. And rightly so that she would have brought a bag of Cheetos. It's one of my favourite confectionaries, well, not confectionaries, the cheesy-based chips. What? I very much enjoy gobbling down on those balls. They are lightweight. They're travel-friendly. They are cheesy. They are bacony. And they get stuck in your molars at the back. It's the chip that you can eat and know that you can still be eating it even 10 minutes after you finish. Getting your tongue in there at the back. Ooh, a couple of gaps in your teeth. Yeah, Cheetos will find some way. It's a very porous chip when you start to really get involved in it. And there's a lot of Cheetos in there, but to be honest, I'm a fan of the crumbs at the bottom. I like the Cheeto dust at the end. If I had it my way, I'd request a packet without the Cheeto balls in it. Just get me to the bottom of the pack where all the cheesy goodness is. The cheesy bacon powder, rack up a couple of lines of that, get it all over my fingers. The balls are just slowing me down. It may be the best crumbs that there are. In fact, I know it's the best crumbs that there are. Because lots of little snacks have little bits and pieces at the bottom of it. And sometimes that's the yardstick of a good snack. Are you willing to get to the bottom corners and see what's there? Maybe uncover a couple of surprises for yourself. Get those fingers wet. Get right in there. Finger those corners. Pick up any shrapnel. Really get involved. Maybe sometimes you'll try and drink the crumbs. That's always a good sign when you're trying to drink crumbs at the end. And the Cheetos, I'd say definitely the best crumbs on the market, but I'm in the market for more crumbs. I'm on the lookout for greater crumbs and 13353.
I'm a fan of crumbs, but I want to know, is there a better crumb than the humble Cheeto?
I think you'd be hard-pressed to find a better crumb than the Cheeto crumb on 13353. I'm open to suggestions, though. I think pizza shapes would be a runner-up. I think that's always good gear. The flavour you can see, well, I can see you at the bottom simmering around. Those little cheesy nugs, little tomato-y bits. That's always a finger licker. You'll always finger the corners of a pizza shapes alfoil pack. Maybe in third place, and this is just a personal pref, I'm open to change. I think the popcorn shavings at the bottom of an instant microwave 2-minute popcorn. I think finding a couple of kernels, I think finding a few offcuts. I think those perfect kernels where they haven't popped into popcorn yet, but they're just brittle enough for you to bite it and it'll pop in your own mouth. There's some good crumbs as well. 1-3-3-5-3. What are the best crumbs on the market? Open to change. Big fan of the Cheeto crumb, though. The Cheeto dusting. So porous. 1-3-3-5-3. What leaves the best crumbs? Chris, in Victoria, you've actually got a Cheetos fact, a fun fact.
Yes, I do. Your beloved Cheetos were created by accident.
Whoa. Big call.
I can't for the life of me remember what company it was, but back in the early 1900s, a food processing company would use corn to stop the potato starch clogging up their machines.
Wow. It sounds like the penicillin of the savoury snack world, and I'm all for it. It doesn't surprise me. It does seem like sometimes the greatest of inventions are stumbled across by accident, and I thank fate that day. And I like to think God was probably looking over the chip factory. He'd probably have something to do with it. Fun fact, John, in Mildura, you have a different crumb in mind.
Yeah, actually, I feel a bit inept after that last call, but mine is just the twisty, cheese twisty remnants of that. That's magnificent.
Yeah, well, don't feel inept, because I love it. I love it. Slightly less bacon involved. In fact, no bacon involved, but a great crumb nonetheless. I'd imagine that you like to get your fingers to a certain moisture and then wiggle around, or are you more drinking the cheese out of the packet?
Nah, I'm more just like when you get to your last sort of nugget, like last bigger part, or the last twisty.
Yeah, the last twisty,
I just tip the pack down the back of your neck way, just straight down.
Yeah.
Yeah, no fingers involved, just down the, yep.
Yeah, like a beer bong, but with cheese twispy remnants instead. Great. Love your work, Michael. In Cronulla, best crumb?
Danny boy, chili chips.
Three words. Oh, four words. Address the host. Oh. Say the answer.
Oh, mate. I don't know if they're better, but it's more challenging. Yeah. There's nothing. The last you've eaten, you then have to drink the bottom of the packet. It's an enduring challenge for your 8 and 9 year old kids. It's a good way of challenging their fortitude. So,
yeah. And it's tough on the way down and it's tough on the way out. That's the thrill of the chili chip. Are we talking Red Rock setup? You're a Red Rock deli kind of guy.
Oh, 100%. Red Rocks. Even the Doritos when they bring out the specials, the extra jalapeno ones.
Yeah. Spicy. I like it. It's something that the chili flake has always struggled to replicate. How can you have that starchy potato taste of the chili flavoured chip? And people have been trying for years, and then much like the Cheetos accident, I wouldn't be surprised if the big man upstairs is looking down on the Red Rock Deli as well. Let's wrap this up with one more. Christian in New South Wales. Hello.
How are you, buddy?
Good. You've got an interesting one. So the barbecue shapes, that's great. Not a biscuit, chip, is it either? You like that, but there's something else. You're thinking real outside of the box here.
KFC Wicked Wings. The crumbs in the bottom of that, you can just eat them yourself.
Yes. The fatty cornflakes, as I like to call them. Very, very nice. It's got the best of all worlds, doesn't it? You gotta get your fingers nice and wet if you want it to stick. It's got the spice of the chili chip. I wouldn't be surprised if this is some sort of accident, some gift from God as well. And there Christian is in the Colonel's box like a pig in a trough.
Phrases. Me with your phrases.
Full as a fairy's phone book, for God's sake.
A nation rich in phrases, a nation of phrase sayers. We love a phrase. It gets yourself out of a sticky situation. What are we looking for? Usually the model of as dot, 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 as a dot, dot, dot. You know, as low as a snake sphincter, as dry as a nun's nasty, about as useless as a screen door in a submarine. These are the phrases that stick. These are the phrases that are easy to remember. They're on recall. And to have 4 or 5 phrases just chilling at the back of your head, ready to get out of any slippery situation, is really why we do this, and what a strong community of phrase sayers we are. Always busy, always good calls. History says always good phrases. Andy in Townsville, hello.
How you going, Danny?
Yeah, not too bad, Andy. Just looking for a phrase from you, good sir.
How about as excited as a Dalmatian in a fire hydrant warehouse?
What a phrase!
Now, it makes me think. I'm trying to connect the dots. Is there anything more to this phrase? Is there something about the Dalmatian that gets more excited than your regular bitch in a fire hydrant warehouse?
Can't think of that, isn't
it? Okay, no, fair enough. So it's interchangeable. That's always good. Flexible. Could replace Dalmatian with Labrador or Pug, you're saying?
Well, Dalmatian as a fire dog, so...
Okay, so there is a little bit of a link there.
Yeah, so true, actually.
I mean, my mistake. Sorry about that. And that's going right in number 18th spot. And thank you, Andy, who was as excited as a Dalmatian in a fire hydrant warehouse right there. I'm going to put it just between you can't make strawberry jam in a pig shit and as flat as a shit carter's hat. It is better than flat as a shit carter's hat. You can't argue with that. Peter, in Botany. Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Yeah, good. You must be enjoying a little bit more peace and serenity over the last year, being so close to the airport, you?
Oh, yeah, just
waiting
on driving. That's noisy anyway.
Yes, airport chat. What's the phrase?
About as handy as an ashtray on a motorbike.
Yeah. What a phrase!
I'm loving that we're so rich with as handy as and as useful as, because we deal with so many not-so-useful people and so many people who just aren't handy on the work site. I like that, because you know, much like Damien, who reckons he got himself out of a sticky situation last week by telling the apprentice that he was as handy as a hip pocket in a singlet, Damien doesn't want to be known as just being that one-trick pony. He needs more as handy gear now. He's actually dug a hole of handiness, and he needs new, fresh stuff all the time. So about as handy as an ashtray on a motorbike, I think that's one of the best handy-based phrases that I've heard in a long time. Is it as funny as a dry as a nun's nasty? I wouldn't have thought so. I don't think you are as handy being an ashtray on a motorbike as you are dry being a nun's nasty. That's a matter of perspective. But I think it is better than as blind as a welder's dog, and that's why it's going at number 6.
What a phrase!
The best one of the night as well. Woohoo indeed. Peter, hold there for now. Tony in Roseville, hello.
How you going, Danny?
I'm good. I've just got my dossier of phrases here. There's so many in my dossier, so I've just got to keep track of all that. What is the phrase?
So when you've had a skinful after a night out and you wake up in the morning, you say she was a 2 at 10 and a 10 at 2.
What a phrase!
Now, I love that as interchangeable as well, because as toxic as it might seem, me and Tony discussing twos who become tens at 2 in the morning, if there was any ladies that wanted to ring up and flip the genders, we would have put them through as well. So don't go pointing fingers there. So true. Yeah. And a classic bit of comment.
It can be unisex. You could say it about a boy as well.
You absolutely could. About a boy, about a man as well. You could. It's a great piece of commentary that alcohol makes people seem more attractive and lowers your inhibitions as the night goes on. And you've done things that you weren't brave enough to do, Tony, at 9, 10 o'clock. But alcohol's helped you get the job done at 2 a.m.
That's right.
Yeah. So
and the next morning, she's a 2 again. That's the funny part.
Yeah, that is the most hilarious part.
What a phrase!
It's funny. You've sobered up. All of a sudden, reality strikes. And like again, I'd love for someone, I don't know, called Tony as a girl to ring in and say, yeah, and the guy's about as hot as a 2 the next morning as well. I'd love that. Where do I put it? I mean, it's better than Wing Wong of a Goose's Bridle. Is it funnier than that hungry I could eat a crotch out of a low-flying duck? God, it's tough. It's an arm wrestle. I'm going to put it between the two. Not bad. Number 20.
What a phrase.
Number 20 tonight for you, Tony. Ron in Maroubra. Hello.
Hello. How are you?
Good, thank you. Finish us off with a great phrase for the phrase leaderboard.
Mate, I've got this mate at work. He's that lazy, he wouldn't even carry a birthmark.
What a phrase.
Hello. I was left wanting until the last second. I was like, where is he going? Where is he going with this? There's so many lazy phrases. So original. Couldn't carry
mate,
a birthmark.
Mate, it's just so true.
It's so true.
You haven't seen this, bro.
Well, I can imagine. And that's the great thing about a phrase.
I can't name him, but I wish I could.
No, don't name the lazy boy. Couldn't even carry a birthmark. But then again, is he going to ride in and complain? Probably not. So lazy.
Oh, mate, I could be at HR tomorrow.
Well, Ron loves his work. I love Ron's work. And I'm going to put that definitely in the top 10. Is it as good as dry as a nun's nasty? We keep coming back to the nasty nun. I don't know about that, but it is funnier than blind as a welder's dog.
It's less offensive. It's,
yeah, I know. That's kind of what I don't like. That's the only little bit. It's too
all right,
clean.
I'll win you tomorrow for a better one.
All right, then. Well, not tomorrow, next Tuesday.
What a phrase.
Story from overseas.
On the other side of the ocean.
Border agent sees 277 pounds of banned bologna. Don't get the word Bologna mixed up with spaghetti bolognese or the Italian city of Bologna like I did until I read the full article earlier on today. Bologna is like polony, like luncheon loaf, like smiley meat. You know, it almost like it comes in that dog food sausage packaging kind of thing. Real cheap, porky meat. Border officers seized 277 pounds of contraband bologna Wednesday at the Mexican border. U.S. Customs and Border Protection officers at the Santa Teresa port of entry in New Mexico discovered 30 rolls of prohibited pork bologna around 6:30 p.m., hidden beneath floor mats and seats of a car during a vehicle inspection. That's got to be one of the best feelings for a bust up, I reckon, as far as customs officers are concerned. Never mind the drugs, never mind, you know, the rich Colombian sweet white China Coke, never mind the weapons and all that. It's the bologna that I think you'd get your kicks when you uncover something like that, of this amount of bologna, 277 pounds of bologna. Bologna containing pork is prohibited because it could possibly contain foreign animal disease. Yeah, beware of the Mexican pigs, I say. The sombrero swine can't be getting over the borders. This is the second time this month agents have confiscated the banned bologna. There's a big market. There's a big black market for the banned bologna. It's a porky pandemic. Luckily, our cameras were there to pick up all the action.
Meanwhile, a passenger attempting to drive across the border raises suspicions with the officers.
Good afternoon, sir. Just a random stop today. Do you have any contraband or illegal goods in your vehicle at all?
No, nothing at all.
Are you sure about that?
Yeah.
The officer's experience suggests the passenger might be hiding something.
The man in question is quite overweight and is wheezing quite heavily, suggesting that there may be some pork products involved in his diet.
But it's the passenger's breath that could prove to be an incriminating telltale sign.
Step out of the vehicle for me. Breathe into this tube.
The passenger faces a nervous wait.
So what this tube is an old Pringles tin. The passenger has breathed into the tube. I will now smell the tube, and if I get any hints of pork flavouring, we'll have reasonable grounds to perform a full vehicle search. Just as I thought. Hints of salami.
It's not good news for the suspect.
Right, sir, at this stage you're under arrest. We believe you're under the influence of mixed ham products and therefore have the authority to check the back of your vehicle. Anything you do say will
That's bullshit.
Anything you do or say will be used as evidence.
Yeah.
Yes, as you can see, there's at least 250 pounds of bologna in the trunk of the vehicle. That's at least $80 to $90 in street value at the butcher's.
Come over here. Anything to say about this?
It's not mine.
I think you're telling pork pies. That line should make the final cut, right? That was quite funny.
Little update with me and my one true love.
Meet Moses Akukazibi. Lakey used to sponsor him in Uganda.
Hey, Danny, how are you doing?
They're still good mates, but Lakey seems to be even better mates with his hot sister, Esther.
Hello, Danny. Good morning.
Is it fair to say you're in love, Lakey?
Yeah, I guess. You could say I'm fallen. Fallen in love.
Well, do tell. What have you and Esther been up to on the chat?
I did send a couple of pictures. I sent one with my family.
Oh, really?
Well, I did send a shirtless photo. And I may have sent a bit more of a private message.
Oh, Lakey, you didn't send her, did ya?
Wow. I'm also grateful to see your picture.
Oh, my God.
That's very, very great. Very great, Danny. Oh, my God.
Well, I will say she sounds excited.
Okay, yeah.
Careful, she'll be asking for some more dongs soon, Lakey. Dong is the currency of Uganda, right?
Wow.
Well, I don't appreciate the sexual innuendo that the voiceover guy is throwing there. Unless that she only likes me for my penis pictures. I also don't like Boss Dan trying to commercialise the relationship, saying that, oh, we should do more, emailing our secret conversations around the workplace to other people. It's just typical. Everyone's trying to get their grubby mitts on my love. Can we not just accept this as a true love story as it is? I'm sorry. I guess I'm just a little frustrated because all of that we just heard was during the dizzying heights of last Friday's Love Fest. I thought we were both going to be chatting, exchanging lots of hot voice messages and pics over the weekend. It was pretty much radio silence from my Ugandan girlfriend, Esther Kukazibi. So I did send a message earlier on today because it'd been over 24 hours. I'm not clingy. I'm not psycho. I just wanted to double check. I was just worried. That's all. So this is what I recorded to Esther Kukazibi earlier on today.
Morning, Esther Kukazibi.
Hope you had a good weekend. Loving the pictures and the chats that we're having, but haven't heard from you in 24 hours, so just wanted to check in, see if everything's okay. You didn't answer last time if you were talking much with Moses, if Moses knows about us or whatever. So, yeah, message back when you can. No rush. I'll just be here, obviously, just waiting. So, all good. Sending now.
I didn't like how she dodged the question last time about whether or not her brother slash my Ugandan sponsor child knew about the relationship. Like, I don't think it's too hard to just get a straight answer on what are we? What are we, Esther Kukazibi? Does your brother know about us? Is this a friendship thing? Is this a casual thing? What is it? It's reasonable enough for me to ask if my Ugandan sponsor child knows about me chatting sordidly and sexually with her with his sister. She texted back earlier on today, and there's a couple of red flags, and I don't know if I'm just being paranoid, because she dances around the question. This is such a girl thing, to dance around the question when all you want is a straight answer. I asked, does Moses Kukazibi know about us? This is what she said.
Yeah, I'm living with Moses. I'm living with him.
That doesn't say anything. Look, I didn't know she was living with Moses, but you can still have a secret relationship even if living with Moses. She just says it. I know that her English cues aren't right on because it's her second language, but it just sounds a little sus, doesn't it?
Moses.
Why is she S-ing? Too slithery a lisp for me. What is going on? And then a little sinister laugh at the end, like there's something I don't know about.
I'm living with him.
And then hang on a second. Whilst I was too busy being angry at her little laugh, what did I hear in the background? Is that a kid? I listened further along to the message, and I think there's a small toddler getting around the hut.
I'm just having my breakfast just now because I've been busy since morning.
Yeah, it sounds like you're busy with a bloody toddler. Esther Kukazibi, if you are streaming live from Kampala, Uganda right now, all I ask of you is to be straight with me, to not mince around, because I'm putting my heart on the line. Does Moses know about us? Do you have a kid you're not telling me about? And can you also answer whether or not you are half Snake from Jungle Book? Yeah, I'll keep you posted on if she is Adda from the Jungle Book. Is it Adda? Shere Khan. I don't know, I get the Jungle Book characters mixed up. Man's Red Fire!
Triple M.